This is All Access Nerds, issue number 7. In this issue, we talk about Batman vs. Superman, Daredevil Season 2, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, what we've read recently, and video games coming out in April.
And also, Rebirth of DC Comics.
This is Ryan.
And this is Nick.
And this is issue number 7.
Number 7. You know that there are a lot of podcasts that don't make it to number 7?
Yeah.
It's been a long statistic. Time. I think 7 is a benchmark, and episode, or in our case, we do issues. Issue number 20 is a benchmark.
Okay.
So yeah. We're there. We're there, man. We're making progress.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Okay. So here on the show.
As usual, start with comics.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have to tell you up front, though, I didn't buy any comics this week.
Okay. Same here. Marvel or DC, if you're listening to this, I apologize, but as a fan, you kind of shorted me, because I looked, and I even triple-looked for something to buy, because I'm like, I got some spare cash, I did some extra freelance things, you know, I got some spare cash to spend, and I looked, and there was nothing. I'm like, alright, there was a lot of Batman stuff, which I'm not really into. As you guys know, Marvel, I don't think they had any number ones. If so, they weren't something that I'm interested in, but yeah, and sadly enough, no comics bought, but I did buy some last week, I think it was, the week before that, so I got some stuff that I've read, some Marvel and some DC.
I didn't buy anything. I looked. Nothing caught my eye.
Yeah.
Like, either Marvel or DC. I did miss. I need to go back and get the Mockingbird number one. See, I wanted to get that.
I read that one.
Excuse me.
And we'll kind of talk about that one right now. I read that one and it's pretty cool. It's all right, I guess. She's spoiler. She's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know if you knew that or not, because I know nothing about her, but I was like, hey, number one, I'll pick it up. And so she's agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they were doing some testing on her to figure out what her powers were, and they were starting to develop, and she kept having to come back over and over and over again, and she's also living her life, and I don't think she went on a mission episode or issue one, but it wasn't really for me. I'm not a big Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. person, but
I do. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And here's a spoiler for you. The most recent episode
of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, this is the one that's before Easter. This had just come out.
Okay.
Her and her friend they've left the show. They're done.
Who?
Mockingbird and her buddy, her
husband. Oh, Mockingbird's actually on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bobby. Oh, okay. Bobby Sinclair, I want to say her last name is.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't she's remember done. Well, allegedly. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But they had a big emotional goodbye.
Huh.
Yeah, there's some problems with Russia, and they get arrested and threatened to get the firing squad.
Oh.
And they denounced being 8 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Oh.
And so they're being followed now, and they've left S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
And it was a bit big. It wasn't just like, okay, we'll see you later. It was actually a teary-eyed episode.
So are the actors or actresses going to still be on the show?
I don't think so.
Really?
Not the way they said their goodbyes.
Okay.
But all we'll right. see.
Yeah, it'd be kind of weird. Like, for instance, earlier today we had some Easter gatherings going on with the family. And we're all saying, bye, see ya. And then somebody was like, wait, let's all get a picture. And it was like, okay, let's go get a picture after we all said our goodbyes. So, you know, you had those moments where you said your goodbyes and you figured you'd go about your day. And yeah, so I can see that if she continues back, it would be kind of weird. But yeah, it wasn't really for me. There was something, I think they were aliens? No, they were like zombies or something? I don't know. It was a strange book and not something that I'm particularly interested in. But I think it was last week or whenever it came out. But no, it was a couple weeks ago. Power Man and Iron Fist.
Mm.
They had their issue number one and issue number two by now. I think it's a bi-monthly thing. It was another Marvel comic that I read recently. And it was actually okay. I was like, huh, I may pick up new issue number two.
Really?
Yeah, but when the week that issue two came out was like very heavy. It was actually the last week. Yeah, the week before last, whatever. And the third week of March. And it was very heavy for me of comic books because DC's doing a lot of their 50th New 52 issues.
Oh.
So those are all like power packs, you know, bigger issues. There's also a DC Legends of Tomorrow comic book, which was like $7.99. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was very, like, I think I got maybe a handful of comics. Not as much as I've gotten before. And it got pretty pricey because of the big issues. But, yeah, Power Man, Iron Fist, if you haven't read it, I would suggest it. It's pretty good. You know, it wasn't typically what I like, but I honestly only got it because of the fact it was number one and the fact of the Netflix show. I like, you know, the characters due to the show, and Iron Fist is coming out here soon, and I think later this year, next year.
Both the Jessica Jones TV show or their own?
I think Luke Cage is going to have one in September, and I can see the actor of Iron Fist being in that pretty heavily because I think...
It should be a Heroes for Hire type thing. That's what the original book was, Heroes for Hire.
Yeah, I think they touched on that a little bit. But what this is, it's kind of based more more on the timeline nowadays, like modern time, but with the history that they've been heroes before. You know, they had retired as the Heroes for Hire, Power Man, Iron Fist. They had retired as them, but there was somebody that close to them really needed their help, so they were like, fine, we'll show up. And Iron Fist is all like giddy about it because he gets to wear his costume, and he hadn't had a reason to wear his costume. He was excited for that. So it was pretty cool. There was some good action going on, and you know, Luke Cage is just as usual, like apathetic, like, I don't want to be doing this, you know. I got Jessica home, I got the kit, she doesn't want me doing this, you know. So it was pretty cool. He was reluctant about it, but just Iron Fist, from what I've seen, he's pretty, at least the Rand something, whatever his name is, something Rand, Joey Rand, I can't remember his name. Who's Iron Fist? Like, what's his alter ego?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I was never a big fan.
Okay. So. It's Rand something, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I can Google it. You guys can Google it. You know what I'm talking about. But that guy, he seems to be, because I think with Iron Fist, there's been multiple people who've had that title.
Really?
Yeah. To my knowledge, there's been multiple people. I don't think it's just one guy.
I know it's a power.
Yeah.
Because I know when they had the
power of Kung Fu or something, the mystical Kung Fu.
When they had the X-Men versus the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that whole Phoenix Force thing taking over, he played a pivotal part in trying to get things set right.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, the Rand guy, whoever it is, he's optimistic, I guess. I don't know, kind of, sort of, but he was happy, at least in this moment, to be doing this kind of stuff, to relive the glory days, essentially. It was really cool to see that, the contrast of Luke Cage. But yeah, it was really good. I've read some of the 50th issues. Green Arrow 50th came out third week in March. Third week of March. And it was very action-packed. There's a lot of storylines. I was kind of wondering if the 50th issues were going to be kind of an annual, but so far they haven't been. They've been just big issues to kind of tie up some of the loose ends, some of the storylines that are going on currently to finish off their story arcs, because here soon they're doing Rebirth, which we talked about, issue number 6. If you haven't listened to it yet, check it out. I highly suggest it. We talked a lot about DC Rebirth and gave some details.
That whole issue was about the Rebirth.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're going to touch a little bit on it.
Yeah, some
updates.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they actually had DC had a panel in WonderCon yesterday, Saturday, about it, and I was able to watch the live stream and got some information about it. We'll touch on that later. Yeah, so I read Superman. It was great. Still going on with the Vandal Savage storyline, and just the fact of like him trying to get the meteor and getting powered up and all this stuff, and Superman's doing his best to stop that. So yeah, it was a really great issue. So far, I've loved what they've come out with the 50th DC New 52 titles, and I think there is a Green Lantern one that came out either that week or the week before that. And it was really cool. I mean, you guys have probably seen it by now if you've, you know, checked out some of the new stuff. But they had Green Lantern, Hal Jordan of the New 52 right now crossover with old Hal Jordan. And it was kind of this timeline crash.
Really?
Yeah, because they're starting to gear up towards the Rebirth stuff. Mm. They're making sure it's not just, boom, it's done, it's there, and welcome. And they want to have some of their storylines to kind of intertwine with it right now. You know, it's not, you kind of have to be reading the books to be able to realize that, or just check out some of the news. But Titans Hunt, I think, is one of them. If you want to know some about what's going into Rebirth, Titans Hunt, I believe they said this Superman title is gearing up towards that, and the Green Lantern one's gonna have some tie-ins with that and such. But yeah, they've been pretty good. I liked them so far.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, March, I don't think I got any really the indie comics. There wasn't too much that I liked besides what we talked about in issue 5, I think it was.
I think things are kind of slowing down. I think some of the comic companies, the way I perceive it, I think they're kind of slowing down and get ready for the summer hit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They just blast out with the summer. So they're just kind of, I think they're in between right now.
Yeah.
Their winter audience and their summer audience. I don't think they really...
Yeah, that springtime where they're kind of tying up some stuff.
Clean out, spring epilogues. Cleaning.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because I know Image, I think it is, they have some sort of summer... issue ones or something. I don't know. Summer season, I can't remember. It's something that they strangely do. They do a bunch of issue number ones, and with the intention that not all of them are going to stick.
Hmm.
Just depends on which ones actually are good.
That's clever.
You know, so you could really like a book. You're like, oh my god, this is good. You know, I've had that happen several times. I really like something. You know, I remember one time specifically, me and a friend of mine were like, oh crap, you know, this is really good. We want to get more issues. And so we were looking for it, couldn't find it. We asked the person at the counter for like trade paperbacks, can we order it? And they said, unfortunately, no, that was part of the seasons. They think I got like one or two issues and it was done. You know, I was like, what is that? And
it'd be a good time to walk in your office at your comic writing company and say, you know what, you three interns, here's a shot, come up with your own stories, do the, you know, write it up and submit it, and we'll run them.
Mm-hmm.
People like them, one of you guys can be famous.
It could. Speaking of which, little side note, speaking of DC, you know, I'll say it right out, you know, I like competition. I think I'll be good enough. We'll see what happens. But DC Comics actually announced this weekend that they're opening up these, I think they're called master classes or something like that, some kind of courses in which they're going to do this, I believe it's May for both, writing and artists. These 13, I think it is, 13 classes, courses online, so you can do it wherever you are, and they're going to be teaching you how to write for comics, how to do art for comics, kind of honing your craft, and there'll be a few select people that actually, out of those classes, because you'll be taught by maybe every single course, maybe not, but at least some of the courses are going to be taught by, you know, Jim Lee, Jeff Johns, the top, like you're going to have.
Wow, they're looking for fresh.
Yeah, they're looking for fresh talents, like a talent search, essentially, but they're doing the form of education, and I haven't seen a price on it yet. Maybe when it gets closer, you'll be able to get a price on it. Yeah, so writing and artists, 13 weeks, and a few select people are actually going to take them to the headquarters of DC.
Is it like competition?
Kind of, because I believe from what it's telling, like I'm assuming they're not just going to get like, you know, the random, like pick randomly out of a hat of which people get to go to their headquarters and have master classes where you'll be sitting down, interacting, talking to them one-on-one or in a small group setting. So it's a select few, that's the whole thing. Select few. Artists and writers being able to go to their headquarters, and then from there, if you get past the master class, they are going to figure out something that you can do to be a part of the comic books of the books that they're doing. So you can start these classes in May. You have to apply. I think you have to apply by May 31st. And all the information's on their site, and you have to apply, do the classes, and if you are good enough, you know, if your talent's good enough, so hone your craft and be able to come out to California. And it's not guaranteed at that point, but they're gonna be able to talk with you some more and see if you're kind of gonna, you know, work with everything and see how it's gonna go from there. But yeah, I'm like, I started freaking out. I'm like, holy cow. I've had a few people, because I've talked about it a lot, like that's one of my huge passions is writing.
I was gonna ask you, what would you bring to the table?
I would say writing, because I'm a horrible artist. I've tried, I really have, but for the amount of time that for me to put into it to do anything that's, you know, partly decent, you know, an artist that's actually good can do, you know, so much more in the same time, you know. Like it takes me a lot longer than, you know, a friend of mine to do the same style of art, good quality, than what it is for me to do it, you know. I'm not really looking at that. I'm mainly looking at writing, and I'm excited. You know, they talked about how, you know, I've heard about this before, that you're not pitching them Superman storylines that you have and Green Arrow ideas, even though I want to. I really do, because I would love to write for any book, even if it's Batman, really. Like, you know, I think that I'll put my own bias aside and still be able to write a good storyline for him, because I know what the fans want. I know what people of that genre want. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited for it. Hopefully it's not a steep price. Find out the hard way.
But, stay tuned for updates, future issues.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Superman and Batman. Let's segue into TVs and movies.
Yeah.
Like you, I saw the Batman Superman movie.
Yeah. Dawn of Justice.
I enjoyed it.
That's good.
It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen in my life, mm-hmm. but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a lot that they were packing into that mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah, that's been the general consensus. Yeah. A lot of people have thought that as well.
I love the battle scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, from my perspective, I guess we won't give too many spoilers right now since it's still kind of fresh.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, in my perspective, Batman won.
See, I watched it and I finished it up, and that is something I talked to my wife about. Because we watched it together, and because, you know, it's minor spoilers, so if you want to see it, if you don't want to be spoiled anything, just, you know, wait a little bit, and then come back to this. But, so, spoiler alert.
Kind of fast forward about a minute and a half.
Yeah, so, yes, but from what I saw, Batman, in my opinion, there was no question he was going to kill him. He was not holding back whatsoever. He had, a lot of spoilers, he had a spear of kryptonite in his hand, about to stab him in the heart. He was not holding back. From the swings he was doing, the blows he was giving, delivering him, he was not holding back. Superman was holding back big time. There was, you know, some immobilization with the kryptonite stuff he was messing with and the traps he set up, but, you know, Superman has said it, you know, you heard in the trailer as well, wanted you dead, be dead already. You gotta heat vision him, you know, and because the whole thing, again, you guys seen it already, I hope. So he was giving an ultimatum, of course, you know, kill him or not, you know, and this person dies. So, but when he got there, he's like, nope, not gonna do it, we need to talk. And that wouldn't there was no time, about, yeah. So, and I heard some fans talk about, like, he should have tried harder to talk to him.
Yeah, that wasn't in the script.
Yeah.
If you hear any noise, it's raining outside right now, so we apologize for that.
Just nice ambient noise.
Don't go to sleep on us.
Yes. So, yes, in the end, I think that it was pretty well balanced, but I would say in the end, yes, Batman did have the upper hand if there wasn't interactions, but I was hoping that Superman, because he mentioned the Martha thing,
mm-hmm.
He mentioned his mother, and they share the same name of the mother. Not the same people, of course, in comics. They're not brothers, but just the name is the same. And it impacted him. You got flashbacks, and which happens all the time in the comic books.
Don't do too many spoilers here.
Yeah, okay.
Let's throttle back a little bit. Go see the movie if you haven't.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I don't normally like going to the movies the first weekend it's out, like a big movie.
Yeah.
Because it's always so crowded. I don't like big crowds of people.
Mm-hmm.
I got my usual end seat, sit on the end by the aisle, and some people came, the theater filled up.
Okay.
The guy next to me fell asleep.
Really?
I'm not exaggerating. He fell asleep. He was doing touch and goes for a while, and finally his head was just down on his chest. He was out cold for a while.
Oh, goodness.
So
I've heard one other friend of mine was talking about that, and I was like, what? You know, because there's a lot of action in that movie, in my opinion.
I don't think, I didn't hear any, you know, any sudden, oh my gosh, you know, there was nothing, you know, there was no reaction to anything in the movie that he was watching.
Okay.
Nothing. So I think he was just there with his two buddies. Like, okay. He was to see a movie. The only other distraction for me, another reason they don't like going big crowds, the couple behind me
mm-hmm.
had brought their toddler.
I mean
this kid had to have been less than a year.
What?
Why in the world you bring a young child? Because the kid's cooing and cawing and jibber jabber, and like, shut up.
I didn't
say it, obviously, but in my head. Fortunately, she realized that she was there's mm-hmm. a couple times where I kind of looked back because it was mm-hmm. distracting. She did take the child and take it down the lobby and hold it by the steps. Then she brought it back. It wasn't too bad. The child wasn't screaming and crying.
That's good.
So that was the only drawback for me. It was a distraction. It was crowded. But again, I did enjoy it. I mm-hmm. loved the whole thing with the Wonder Woman coming in.
Yeah.
How they had they showed the picture of her back in the 19 World War One, I guess it was.
Yeah, it was like 1918s or something. Like that. It was a long, long time ago.
So that's setting the stage for her movie.
Yeah.
Because you know, she's filming it with Chris Pine.
Yeah.
So, and he was in the photo.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. So they're setting the stage for that.
Yeah.
So that she was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
She should have to go to YouTube and watch that little clip.
Yeah.
It's hilarious if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them.
It's right totally embarrassing. Yeah, it's totally embarrassing.
Okay. Yeah.
She talks about her outfit.
She's
really good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Same here. I think that I've heard mixed things. The critics, you know, Ben Affleck even said, this movie is not for the critics. You know, we did not go on, because I guess, like, you know, maybe I could look more into it and find out about it, but I guess there is a critics, some sort of trail, not only a trail, but like they do press release, and they do a lot of, you know, like, they go to Japan and they talk about it, and they go to China and they talk about it.
I think
they go
worldwide to push these movies.
Yeah, and so that campaign, I guess, is different. The marketing campaign of doing that, mm-hmm. If going around traveling, talking about the movie and such, is different than specifically with critics, because I guess you have to do some more. I don't know.
Well, critics get their own viewing of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a viewing way before it's released. We've seen the red carpet mm-hmm. first release shows about that, but it's the critics get their own copy.
Yeah,
or not maybe not their own copy, but they get their own time to look at it.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
And of course, the fans going like Rotten Tomato and vote, and they got real low votes for that. But like you, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap what they say.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie.
Yeah.
Because I want to see it.
Yeah. It's worth, you know, $8 or $9, make an opinion of your own. And it's, you know, and I love seeing it, because I'll admit it, I'm a DC fanboy, specifically Superman. But they got a whole bunch of Justice League characters in there for a little bit. And I loved it. I was really excited about it. And I'm really happy when I see these new updates, and unfortunately I forgot to look, but it's updated. By the time I tell you this now, it'll be a whole new update. But last one I saw, it was about 200 million something, maybe 400 million. Like, it's made up its original production, so
dollars?
It's made its so it's on its way. I think by the end of tonight, it's highly predicted to meet that $1 billion mark or something like that. Like, it's going. So I've made a few bets with some friends that I don't think you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think I ever announced a specific number or anything, but I was very adamant, you know, fanboy, whatever. And I was talking about, because there was a post, there was some kind of picture that was going around, and I shared it as well, and it was said something about Star Wars, Force Awakens, you think this is the highest gross movie, wait until March. And it was a picture of the three of them, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. And I made a comment of, you know, I reposted it and was like, yep, yeah, this will be Force Awakens. Will it actually happen? I don't know. You know, it was mainly just me, you know, poking some trolls, because I know I got some friends of mine that are just going to be trolling on me about it. And I, you know, you got to feed the trolls every once in a while.
Well, I'm looking, this is from Forbes.com.
Okay.
And this was as of March 27th at 11:15 a.m.
Okay.
Batman vs. Superman, box office, Dawn of Justice, opens with mostly $170.1 million weekend. So that was as of 11:15 this morning. So, yeah, $170 million.
Okay.
So, when it started by...
And that's probably domestic, actually, because I've seen, like, worldwide, because it's opened a bunch of theaters all at once. Worldwide, it's gone crazy.
It does say domestic, okay. Right. There is okay. The domestic bow.
Yeah.
So, riddle me this, Batman. When is a $170 million W weekend not entirely cause for unimaginable celebration? Answer, when it is started by an $82 million Friday. So, just on Friday, $82 million. Just domestic. So.
See, this makes me happy. I'm a fan. It's a good movie, guys. If you ever watched it, I suggest it. You know, it's like $8 or $9 to go get a ticket, make an opinion of your own. It's like everyone else is saying, it's not a perfect movie. You can find things out there, poke and prod about it. But what movie is perfect? You know, we're gonna have our favorites, we're gonna have things that we love the most. So yes, I am biased on it a little bit, I'll admit that. But fans are, you know, aren't biased about it. Marvel fans, whatever, they've still liked it. So yes, I highly suggest you go see it. A lot of people like it. Make an opinion for your own, and I'm loving that it's making money. It's good, you know, make more comics, make more movies. It's gonna be great.
What's the next, was it X-Men Apocalypse, the next one coming out, or Captain America Civil War?
Yep, here in about 4 weeks, early May. Yeah, I think it's the same, it's gonna be the same weekend as Free Comic Book Day, because that's the first weekend of May, and so is Captain America Civil War. So yeah, we gotta wait all of April. I looked, and some stuff to talk about for April is coming up, some exciting things to look forward to for nerd stuff, but unfortunately, movies-wise, not so much. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah, movies came out that caught your eye.
No. Well, I think we talked about it. I can't remember. I'll go back. Cloverfield 10, if I haven't talked about it. Yeah, it was really good. You know, and I know you haven't seen it yet, so I won't go into too much. But it's not, you know, some monster flick, giant, huge, you know, skyscrapers falling down. It's a completely different storyline than what you would think for it to be tied in with Cloverfield, the original one, where it's the hand cam. You know, just going through the streets of New York, I think it was. But it was really good. It was John Goodman. Unfortunately, I forgot the other names of the actress and actor. But they did a really, really good job. They were in a bunker. I thought you'd like it because they talked about some doomsday prepping stuff, which is pretty cool. And, you know, he wasn't... At the beginning of the movie, you kind of... You could take him as just a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But as you get along with it, you start seeing that he was in his right mind. You know, some of the times... There are some people out there, that take it way too far and with the conspiracy theories and, you know, the doomsday prepping stuff. But I don't think he was one of those. But yeah, throughout the movie, he kind of justifies why he was doing the stuff he did. So I highly suggest it. John Goodman did an amazing job in it.
Goodman, he's a good actor. He's come a long way.
Oh man, what was the first thing I saw him in? I can't remember. But I mean, chance or timeline wise, it was somewhere around the line of Big Lebowski.
Or Roseanne. Remember from Roseanne?
Yeah, Roseanne. Yeah, was probably before that. I watched Big Lebowski a couple years ago. I got a friend of mine, Nate. He maybe listens to podcasts. Hey, Nate. Yeah, he's a big Lebowski fan. And I watched it. It was entertaining. It was funny. It was good. It was different than what I was expecting. But yeah, John Goodman was in it. He was a hilarious character. I love him.
Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane
on
Rotten Tomatoes has a 90%.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And an audience score of 83%. That's good.
Yeah, it's up there. I highly suggest people go see it. And I think, you know, now you might as well just catch a matinee showing, you know, it's if you got time to. But yeah, that's about it for at least movies that I've watched in April, so this upcoming month. There is, I think, Ratchet and Clank is coming out with a movie, which I feel, and to most of my knowledge, other video game fans feel, kind of late to be doing a Ratchet and Clank movie, but I also saw that they're gonna be doing a Ratchet and Clank video game. Looked like it was just like a reboot, maybe a remake, maybe just HD remastered, because it didn't have any other names with it, just Ratchet and Clank. But yeah, it's got a movie. It seemed pretty funny, at least in the trailers. Don't think I'll see in the theaters. Maybe I'll watch it when it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray. But yeah, there was movies wise, there is something. There is one kind of sort of hardcore Henry.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be pretty cool, and I'm excited to see that. We were talking about it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the standard now for... It's like when Blair Witch Project came out, mm-hmm. and all the whole handheld camera recorders and that. There was a whole bunch of those. I think we're going to see more of these first person.
Yeah, kind of like...
Almost like Doom.
Yeah, Doom did that as well.
Because they did it in the movie. The game Doom, the video game Doom, that was first person.
Yeah, first person.
And then the movie had Dwayne Johnson in it.
Yeah.
There was a couple times where it would go to first person.
Yeah.
That was kind of...
Yeah, and it looks like this movie is completely shot in... If not a GoPro, something really, really similar to a GoPro. But, I mean, maybe it is a GoPro. Who knows? I know they're really, really good quality. I don't see why not. I know Zack Snyder was talking about Batman vs. Superman. There were some shots that were GoPro. You know,
really?
It was actually, some of the Batmobile, like you saw some of the Batmobile shots, they were just a GoPro. You know, he used, with the fight scenes, he used an IMAX camera, and then it was all kinds of cameras he was using. But that's probably normal for directors. I really don't know, unfortunately. Got a friend who's into directing, but fortunately, that's not my thing, but he was talking about the cameras that he was using, which is cool. But yeah, movies wise, I think just Hardcore Henry.
That'd be cool. It's kind of a big one. That.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
My wife didn't want to see it at all. She's like, I don't like that. I like that.
Same here.
That's fine. You can stay home. My wife
was talking about how she might get motion sickness because of that. Which I understand, you know, movies and stuff like that. I think that happens with people. I know, like, when you're in a car for a while, she has that happen, like, you know, car sickness, whatever.
Don't let her throw up in the bucket.
don't throw up in my bucket.
Excuse me. Let's move into TV shows.
Yeah, TV shows.
I was glad to see that Flash and Arrow came back.
Yeah.
This week, I watched the Flash and Arrow. I enjoyed the Flash episode more than the Arrow.
Really?
Arrow, I don't know. They're ready to do something to drag me back in because I'm losing it.
Yeah. It seemed like it was more of, like, I still liked it. Because I like some of the in-depth character just stuff that's going on. Some of the relationship stuff. You know, I feel for Oliver Queen and what he's going on with his girlfriend and whatnot.
Felicity.
So that kind of stuff. Yeah, some of the stuff's gut-wrenching, but I think it's a good story. But yes, the villain and some of the action, it was strange. Like, there's a lot of archers he goes against, and I'm hoping that maybe next season they bring in Komodo. It's one of the really, really recent Green Arrow villains, and there's a whole Arrow clan, and there's a sword clan, a fist clan. Like, they have all these different clans that are fighting for some sort of relic that gives power or something like that. But Komodo is just a phenomenal archer, and just ruthless, and it was great. It was like Deathstroke, but with more agility. You typically see Deathstroke, he's very strong and he's powerful and he's, you know, throwing stuff and shooting guns, but Komodo seemed to be more agility and jumping around, doing flips and whatnot, and being more active. And I hope that they do it, because I think he's a really great archer, and as well as it'd be cool to see a recent, because it's New 52, at least in my opinion, to my knowledge, New 52 character brand new, you know, right there.
Okay.
But yeah, Flash is good. I did hear some people kind of complaining, but everybody's gonna complain about something.
Mm-hmm.
Some people complaining about the speedsters, what was her name,
Flash girl
trajectory. They were complaining about her costume. They're like, this is like, you know, the beginner's cosplay costume, like it's just so bad. But it's like she was just starting out, and on top of that, she was a scientist. But they talked about it in the show. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it, pause this quick, go watch it, or skip ahead, come back to it, whatever. But yeah, they were talking about, minus spoilers, what I'm saying, they were talking about it with, you know, there was no friction going on and stuff like that when she was speeding, and she was really fast, and it was actually shown that she was faster than the Flash, you know, Barry Allen. You know, he mentioned that, you know, and he was getting annoyed by that. He was getting frustrated, and I liked seeing that, just that dynamic of, like, you know, what is he gonna do? Is he gonna take a shortcut to be the best that he can, or is he gonna make it the hard way? You know, so it's really cool to see that kind of development going on.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I guess we talked about it last time. He's going to appear in Supergirl.
Yeah.
I saw the previews for that.
I haven't seen it yet. I think I've seen, like, little clips of it, but I don't think I've seen the full one through.
It's not, they're not in the same, we'll say, universe.
Okay.
They're from different dimensions.
Okay. Yeah.
She makes comment, oh, you're from a different world or different. Yeah. So I was kind of disappointed about that. I thought he was part of the same. I thought it was her reality was part of the same as Barry Allen's and the Flash. I thought they were together, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shows separate. Him pop through a portal. So
yeah. Because they show that just for a second. You kind of had to been analyzing it and kind of looking out for it. But when the Flash was going to Earth 2, like a month or so ago, in that traveling, you know, he was warned that he's going to see some stuff, you know, but just keep going on. Don't stop. Just keep running. And it was actually one of the scenes that you saw was, you know, Legionnaire ring. You saw a lot of different things. But one of the things was Supergirl. You saw her there because they announced it already. Yeah. And I haven't seen it yet because I want to make sure that last Supergirl, I'm pretty sure we saw it. We got to double check. But I want to make sure it doesn't lead into this Supergirl because, you know, I would hate for it to be like, you know, lead into it. And
it's not out yet.
Yeah. I think it's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be that episode. So Monday, the 28th of March. So I'm excited for that. It's going to be pretty cool.
So moving on. What else we got?
Shows Legend of Tomorrow. It was off a week, but it's going to be back, I think, this week. Or maybe I saw it was the 31st. I think that's Thursday. Or it's, what is it, next month. I hope it's not a month away, but I'm pretty sure I saw it was coming back. Hope it's soon. But we'll find out.
And another thing is Supernatural. That's back.
Yeah.
That show, I like it. It's dragging on way too long.
Yeah.
It should be done.
Yeah.
The storyline just, I don't know, they're sucking.
I'm touching on a little bit. I know Nick hasn't seen it yet, but Daredevil 2, really great. I loved it. Yeah, season 2. I really loved it. A lot of people are liking it. There is some drag, kind of some time, but it's unnecessary. You can just cut it out, skip over it. But I think a lot of people are just comparing it too much to the first season, which is kind of hard to top because it was so good. But this one was amazing as well, so definitely highly suggest. If you haven't seen it, what I did is it was Friday morning when it came on. I wanted to see if I can, go online or whatever, download it, buy it. And I couldn't yet. It was still just Netflix only. So I went ahead and subscribed for a month's free trial. You can just Google it, month free trial of Netflix, and watched it there. You know, I still have the month going out. I'll just cancel it. Hopefully I remember. But yeah, I watched it and got it done with in, I think, 4 or 5 days. So yeah, I highly suggest it. It's only 13 episodes, though.
So the last one was too, wasn't it? 13?
Yeah. Usually that's what Netflix tries to shoot for when doing a season like that, is just 13 episodes all at once. Boom, done. It's there for it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, we talk about video games a little bit. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to look at board games, but yeah, if you are interested in board games, card games coming out, I know for me, I love Magic the Gathering, and this weekend is coming up, the April 2nd and 3rd, going to be the pre-release for Magic the Gathering, the newest expansion set, Shadows of Innistrad, is coming out. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of upset because, yeah, I know this kind of, here's where Nick's going to zone out because he's not really into it, but I'll keep it short. We're going to Innistrad, which if you haven't played in a while, we've been there already. And the set that just came out was Zendikar. And same kind of thing. We've been there already. And a lot of people are thinking, okay, whole new plane of existence, new characters, everything, whole new look, whole new feel, theme. And then Zendikar, because Khan's the Tarkir. And then Zendikar was like, we'll go back to someplace we've already been, and then we'll go to a new place. But we actually went back to someplace we've gone to already. So, but it's Innistrad. It'll be fun. A lot of the cards look pretty cool. We'll see how it handles. Pre-release is fun. Drafts look like they're going to be pretty good. So keep it short with that. Board games, unfortunately, I didn't look up. To my knowledge, there isn't really anything big coming out. But if so, let us know. If you got a Kickstarter you want to, you know, share our way, you know, share it on our Facebook, tweet us, email us, whatever. And we'll try to check into it. And if we love it or whatever, we'll give you a shout out. But video games I can get into real quick. This month, we got a few. It seems to be a little bit lackluster, but we got a few. Dark Souls 3 is coming out all across the board. PS4, Xbox, PC here on April 12th. Dark Souls 3 is coming out. I haven't played in the first two. I don't know if... Have you played in the Dark Souls?
No.
Okay.
Never got to it.
The whole thing is you die a lot in the game. So, not really for me. I get frustrated with that stuff. But Quantum Break, some people have been talking about it. And what it is, it's a time-traveling video game. And so, it seems to be one of the best ones that I've seen with manipulating time a lot. And you have some sort... I think it's a suit, maybe, or something. Just some sort of way of time-traveling. And so, that's going to be, like, your way of... When you die... You kind of respond that way, and they utilize that a lot. And they utilize you being able to release, like, time grenades, and so it slows down time around you, and everybody else is, like, shooting bullets really slow, so you can move them out of the way, beat them up, do what you gotta do. But, Quantum Break is actually coming out on the 5th, so it'll be here really soon. Dark Souls 3, Ratchet and Clank, yeah, I talked about that, it's coming out. It might be a reboot, might be a remake, I don't know, it doesn't say anything about it, but, yeah, if you're a Ratchet and Clank fan, they got a movie and a video game coming out this month, so I'm sure you're gonna be happy. And it looks from there, just some small-time stuff, Star Fox Zero, so if you're Wii U fan, the Star Fox Zero is coming out later this month, the 22nd, and Fallout 4 is having another DLC, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. It looks like they're going to be more on, like, the workshop and the building and stuff. It can be called a Wasteland Workshop. I heard some pretty good reviews about Automatron. I haven't got a chance to download it yet and check it out, but a lot of people have been liking it, so, you know, if you like it, then maybe you'll like Wasteland Workshop as well, because you kind of get to build your own robot, more similar to what you've been already, and there's a whole separate storyline with that, and they add new details to it, and new stuff, all kinds of good stuff with the DLC, and I'm sure this one's going to be just as good. Unfortunately, for video games, I think that's about it. Oh, well, I guess a Destiny Spring update, I guess they're going to have an update, so if you play Destiny, get ready for an update there in April. For me, I think I played Diablo 3 right now a lot, as they do their seasons, and I think the season 5 is about to end, I think we're on, so I'll be excited for that, at being able to, you know, utilize the end of the season. But yeah, games and such, that's about it for me.
Well, I haven't done any games.
Okay.
I got nothing on games this time around.
Yeah, just to make sure.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are they going to come out with a Martian the Manhunter TV show? Are they doing a spell? Did I hear whispers of that somewhere?
At this point, nothing has been confirmed, to my knowledge. Okay. Yeah. Right. Do you hear rumors of that or something?
I heard it someplace, okay. And I can't find anything on it. I don't know where I heard it.
Huh. I know they're going to do, they're in the works of it. Like, they're hiring some of the cast members and such. So they're in, like, pre-production, maybe pre-production. I don't know exactly how it works. But they're hiring some actors for, I forgot the name of it, but it's a DC show. I believe it's going to be on, like, ABC or CBS. Yeah, ABC, maybe. Whichever one's owned by Warner Brothers.
It would be ABC. The ABC is owned by Disney.
Okay, yeah, so CBS then, that's okay. Supergirl's on. And I don't know about universe-wise, I don't know if they've announced it, maybe I just missed it, but they're doing a, like, almost like a sitcom, but with some obscure characters. I think it's called Powerless, maybe? I don't know. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called Powerless or something in those lines. But yeah, so it's going to be, and to my knowledge, it may have just been a joke about it, but it's an insurance company that, like, they're working for. And so you get a lot of the superhero crashes and the fights that they're doing. So they're trying to, like, sell insurance. Or I don't know. It sounds pretty funny, the idea of it. But and to my knowledge, it's not going to be like Supergirl or Legends of Tomorrow, where we're going to get these main characters with huge fight scenes every single time. It's going to be more comedy based with, I'm pretty sure, a sitcom. To double check that, but I'm pretty sure.
We'll get more information on that and put it out to you.
Yeah.
As that comes around.
Yeah.
What else you got?
For me, I've mainly been just checking out a lot of YouTube stuff. I came across this guy's YouTube channel called Aram's Comics, I think it is. I think it's like the show with issues or something. He's a YouTube channel. Just starting out, I think he's like maybe a year into it or so. And I actually like watched one of his first few episodes and I was like, alright, like this, that's it. This is really kind of rough. But I was able to just check it out, some of his newer stuff, and I liked it. You know, he talks about a lot of the facts into, like, you know, Doctor Doom, you know, and he actually asked some questions about, like, is Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, is he alive? Is he a sentient being?
The hammer itself?
Yeah, the hammer itself. And so, and I really like it because the guy takes his time to do a lot of research into it, you know, and he doesn't just Wikipedia page and move on, find there and just, you know, re-blurt that. No, he does use a sort of Wikipedia page, Marvel or whatever, and then he goes into the sources, makes sure that the specific comic book issues are correct and cited, and he double checks with that. So he went into the whole aspect of there's some scientists that's talked about what makes somebody a conscious being, a sentient being. And he broke it down to 5 or 6 things, you know, program and consciousness, etc., etc. And so he compared Mjolnir with, you know, and he put them through this ringer to see if he's a sentient being. And he sent Mjolnir, Thor's hammer of Marvel, or in, I think, just the Norse god mythology. He aligns with a lot of them. Because I guess in some old things, and it's funny because Thor, yeah, he's a god or whatever, he's a demigod, but he, his hammer is, the whole thing is, Odin blessed it with these enchantments.
Right, magical.
So, yeah, it's magical. Yeah. Divine magic. But yeah, it's magical, and these enchantments, and there's like 25 of them at least, maybe even more, and it's hilarious, and now it's something to bring up, because a lot of people, I love Superman, a lot of people bring up, like, he's way too overpowered, like, he's just unstoppable, there's nothing to like about him, he's not relatable, blah, blah, blah. I highly disagree with all those, but Thor, holy cow, if you go back into his backstories, he's been able to be invisible, he's able to shapeshift, he's been able to, like, you know, change his appearance, like, clothes and stuff like that, because Mjolnir, you know, shapeshifting him from Donald Blake whenever it came to him, he would, boom, he's right. Thor, you know, flight, invisibility, mind reading, phase through objects. I mean, like, anything and everything.
Well, Superman insane. Had the same thing. Next issue, we're going to go over that.
Okay.
There's some crazy there Superman are some. Powers that he's used over the years.
I think we'll do some research.
Yeah, we'll kind of compare. Have that next time.
Who's more overpowered, Thor or Superman? Send us in your thoughts. Let us know. Have a discussion about it.
Yeah. Feel free to email us at
allaccessnerds@gmail.com.
Yep. Or you can find us on Facebook.
Yep, Twitter, we're trying to get better at it. I think this week I should have extra time to get it up and running and be able to keep it updated on a daily basis. As well as our website. I really, really want to be able to check our website. It's allaccessnerds.com. So everything All Access Nerds. If you're on some sort of social media, it's All Access Nerds, and I'm sure we're on it.
All Access Nerds.
Yeah.
Yep. That's us.
So we're going to do the website, try to get it more updated for you. Blogs, reviews, news.
About the DC Rebirth.
Yeah, DC Rebirth. Mentioned a little bit before, but they had a panel, WonderCon, and talked all about it. They didn't spoil anything. They still kept a lot of things under wraps, but they did surprisingly announce a lot of stuff. They talked about the creative teams, talked about, and I'll be able to link it because I can't write them off the top of my head, but Scott Snyder, I remember one of the things specifically, is that throughout the panel, I suggest just go watch it. I really do. That's what we'll probably link. We'll link that, and we'll link the DC Comics, the specific details about it in the news and the pictures, all that stuff been released about the covers that are coming out. But specifically, one thing I remember is they had a Batman group come up first, and I saw people in the comment section like, where's Scott Snyder? Where's he at? Like, because he's been a part of Batman since the New 52, since the beginning. And he was nowhere to be found. But there was there's two seats still open, still empty. And a lot of, they made mention of that. Like, okay, so I know you guys are wondering, where's Scott Snyder? So we're announcing right now, come on out, Scott. And so he came out and he talked about All-Star Batman. And it's going to be him and Greg Rucka, I think it is, maybe? Or maybe Greg Rucka is a writer. I can't remember exactly. There's a lot of names thrown out in like an hour span, if even that. But yeah, there's a lot of names, so I won't be able to memorize them all. But we'll link it on the show notes. So they talked about it, and Scott Snyder and Jim Lee, because Jim Lee's not going to be on All-Star Batman. And he made some kind of joke about that, because we saw him in Comic Book Man, and it reminded me. He made some kind of joke about that, because he's like, that's my book, you know, that's my, what are you doing? And so Scott Snyder's like, I'll do it good, I'll be fine, you know, and I'll be okay with it, I'll treat it with the honor it needs. And yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. As we mentioned before, it's all going to start off with, I think it's May 25th or whatever, the last Wednesday of May, and it's going to be the DC Rebirth special, and it's going to be actually $2.99. It's going to be an 80-page special.
Wow.
But it's only $2.99. They're really serious about that. And I figure that maybe with some special things like that, they're going to be able to break that. Nope, it's still 80 pages, and I'm hoping it's not just, you know, 20 pages of actual comics and the rest ads. I highly doubt they're going to do that. But 80 pages of comic and still $2.99, which is really cool. So, and there's going to be some stuff leading into it. And they made mention, they did spoil one thing, kind of, sort of, because they were talking a lot about, Geoff Johns specifically was talking about Justice League. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be actually Justice League issue 50 or 52 is actually going to come out after the Rebirth, but that's just because of time constraints. Like, it's still set with a New 52. It's not a part of Rebirth, but it's just going to be late, unfortunately. And he mentioned that, you know, in issue 34 or something like that, Justice League, Dark Side War, first started off, Batman gets on the Mobius chair, which is his chair, DC Universe, and gets all information of the universe at hand, and Batman sits on it, and he's able to ask questions. You know, he said, who killed my parents? And it went ping, and he said, Joe Chill, so that was confirmed. And he said, who's the Joker's name? And it said ping, and he's like, what? That can't be possible. And that's all we said, and he said, in that issue, it's going to be revealed of the Joker's name. And so we've seen some mixed things with that. A lot of people are like, what? No, it's going to ruin things, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's just a name.
Humanize him.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's just a name. And like, in my opinion, from what we've seen, this, it's not just one Joker. That's my guess. It's not just one guy. It's been different reiterations throughout the time. There's been, Joe Chill has been the Joker. There's been several people have been the Joker. And even in Gotham, like we saw in the Gotham, there was a guy, and there was not the actual Joker. Joker, but he was in the show on Fox, Gotham, and he was just like the Joker, everything about him, but he ended up actually dying, so it's not actually the Joker. So there's been different iterations of him through, you know, different continuities and stuff like that, but I don't think it's going to break comic books to get out his name. And it's still going to be just as crazy. So Scott Snyder's on All-Star Batman. Let's see if I can remember some of the highlights, at least for me. Superman. We talked about that. We had, because there was Superman. It was a dash in between, yeah, like what we see Spider-Man, I think, usually has a dash or hyphen, whatever. And it's Lex. Actually going to be Lex. Yeah, it's going to be Lex Luthor. He's going to be in a suit. And because that was actually going back to the original Action Comics, when it was Lex Luthor was the reign of Superman. So it's going back to that. And I like that aspect that he's, you know, he's like, you know, I'm tired of thinking that, you know, Superman's going to be the one to always save us, I'm gonna be, you know, Superman. So it seems pretty cool. Super Sons, we've actually found out that is Superman and Batman's kids' sons are teaming up together.
Okay.
So, and it's John something, I forgot his name. But it's not a Kal-El, you know, Superboy, but it's actually Superman's son and Damian Wayne, I believe, are going to be a team.
What if Damian's still going to have his powers?
I don't think so. It hasn't shown that. I would hope that, you know, like, it would be a bigger thing if so. Team Titans, they're doing that. And actually, Damian Wayne is going to be ahead of that. And they talked about for our first couple issues, nobody wants to team up with them. The other Teen Titans, they're like, no, like, we know who you are. We're not a part of that team. Mm. So there's actually some hostility there, some friction, fighting, of course. So we'll see about how he actually becomes a leader of a team like that. Because I know that they're really big on Teen Titans. They want to make sure it's done well. In my opinion, I've loved it so far. Scott Lobdell did a great storyline with it. And some of the recent guys on it that have been really great on it. Birds of Prey is going to be a big one. But I'll link it in the show notes. Somewhere that check out the photos. Wonder Woman's going to be done. Nicola Scott, really great artist in my opinion. And what they're going to do is that it's going to be a bi-weekly. Like we talked about, a bi-monthly, mm-hmm. whatever. It's going to come out twice a month, $2.99. And the even numbers are going to be her in the modern times we're at now. The odd numbers are going to be Wonder Woman year one. So it's gonna, she's going to be younger. She's going to be, you know, just figuring out that kind of stuff. So we're kind of going to have, like, you know, two different kind of storylines. And so if you like one storyline, don't like the other one, then only get the even issues or the odd issues. That's pretty cool. That's
pretty tricky.
Yeah. Because I know that Thor did that for a while. When Marvel Now first started.
Yeah, but it was in, not to catch off, but in the Thor book, there was three stories in one book.
Yes, that's what it was. Three stories in one book.
Yeah. Present,
that jumped past, around, future. Like
it was hard to...
Yeah, because it wasn't really listed well or something. Because a friend of mine was reading it. If you read some solicitation or if you read some news about it beforehand, you might be able to figure it out. But in the issues themselves, they didn't allude to that easily. So it was like, what's going on? And he found out, he liked one of the storylines going on, but he didn't like the other two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'd be good that way. If you like the even numbers, only get the evens. If you like the odds, only get the odds. So yeah, and they still kept it a secret about who is going to be the main thing about. Because you see in the special, in the comic, or the cover, you'll see it. I'll link it. Pretty much the entire Justice League and more people. So we saw Shazam, but there's a lot of lightning going on. We saw Flash, but still, yeah, a lot of lightning. Everybody's reaching out to her hand, and there's one hand that's on the other side, and it's reaching towards everybody else. It's like, you know, a mirror almost. And so we don't know who the hand belongs to. It's almost like people are going to hate me for it. But who was it? Leonardo da Vinci? Did he do the Sistine Chapel? Right? Maybe? I don't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, it's something almost like that where the two hands, they're reaching for each other. You got to check it out. It'll make more sense when you see it. Better than what I can describe it. Fantastic art. But whoever's hand that is, that's a big part of, like, that person can be a big part of it. So maybe there might be someone to be able to analyze and figure out who, you know, fingers, I don't know, maybe there's a wrist, a coloring or something, I don't know. But from what I've seen, Rebirth's gonna be great. You know, they talked about Jeff Johns mentioned right off the bat, it's not a reboot. You know, we're not getting rid of everything that happened in New 52, but we are gonna kind of merge New 52 with pre-New 52 in a way. You know, we're bringing back that lineage, but we're going to continue on with some of the aspects that a lot of the fans like in the New 52 and bring on what a lot of people like of the lineage of the history. Sad part for me, unfortunately, I didn't see any Booster Gold books. Maybe he's the dude. I would hope that'd be really, really awesome. But unfortunately, Booster Gold hasn't been seen yet in the new or rebirth.
It may have been Michelangelo.
Yes, Michelangelo. Yes. I'm sorry, everybody. Yes, it's Michelangelo.
Yeah, the more I think about it, it was Michelangelo.
Yeah. Yep. I feel bad.
Because so, Leonardo da Vinci was more of a creator of
sketch. Yeah, he did a lot of sketches.
Sketches. Like, he was more of an inventor.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I remember that now. Right. But yeah, so Rebirth, trying to remember if there's anything else at the top of my head. No, nothing I can think of. It's going to be good. I'm excited for it. There's going to be some, like we talked about before, Action Comics, continue on in the 900s and Detective Comics as well. So then they're pulling out like really, really good artists, and they're even giving spotlight to some new writers and stuff like that, which I'm excited for. So stay tuned. In June, we're going to get lots of good stuff. July, August, I'm really excited for what's coming.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
Nah, that's all I got on the Rebirth.
Well, this is Nick.
And this is Ryan.
Go forth and do great things.